Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I'm honored that you're joining us this week. So my quote today is by Paulo Coelho. I can never say his name correctly. He wrote The Alchemist, but the quote says, "Intuition is really a sudden immersion of the soul into the universal current of life, where the histories of all people are connected, and we are able to know everything because it's all written there." Now, when you look up at the sky at night and see all the beautiful twinkling stars in the sky, what do you think to yourself? Do you contemplate the universe and all the really cool miracles that it holds for us every day? Or do you just look up and say, "That's pretty"? Hopefully, you look up with wonder and reflect on all that we have available before us and how a change in us can actually create a change in the world. Now, do we really have this much power? And if so, how do we create this dramatic change in the world? Well, of course, I have a wonderful guest today who's going to answer these questions and so much more. My guest is Irvin Laszlo, and we're going to discuss this. It's a very huge topic, but Irvin's going to tell us about his newest book, Reconnecting to the Source, the New Science of Spiritual Experience, how it can change you and how it can transform the world. Now, Irvin's been twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Professor Laszlo is the prolific author, co-author, and editor of more than 100 books translated in over 20 languages. Now, not to overlook his contributions of hundreds of papers and articles in scientific journals and magazine. He's a resident of Italy. Go Italy. He is a longtime editor of the acclaimed international periodical World Futures, the Journal of General Evolution. And he's also the founder of two international think tanks, Club of Budapest and General Evolution Research Group. He is also the founder and director of the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research, another global think tank dedicated to exploring and expanding the frontiers of science and consciousness. Wow. So please help me welcome my wonderful, brilliant guest, Irvin Laszlo, to the show. So Irvin, thank you so much for being on.
Connie, it's a pleasure to be here again to talk with you.
Yes, and God bless your credentials. You're brilliant. You're just brilliant. So,
I know you are wonderful, but that quote that you just read, it goes so deep. It's exactly what I'm working on now. You know, a few years ago, I wrote the book Science and the Akashic Field, mm-hmm. which became a kind of a bestseller. And now the publisher asked me to write another book on the Akashic Field in the newest science context. So I'm working on that now, you know, just now. And it's so true what you said, that we can connect with everything. It's because we are immersed in a field, which is a quantum field, a universal quantum field, which connects everything, where information is basic, and we can retrieve the information, whatever you wrote it in, or anybody else. So we can talk, not just through Skype as we do now, but we can talk through the ether, as it were.
Yeah, and it's funny, and I think a good example of that, Irvin, is, for example, the other day I was teaching a class on sales, which is what I do, and I mentioned an old friend's name from my kids played hockey and knew this one family, and I'm driving home, I'm at the stoplight right across from where my home is, and I toot on the horn, I look over, I'm like, oh, who is this? Rolls down the window, it was the same gentleman I was speaking about during the class during the day. You know, coincidence? Yeah, I don't think so. So this connection, yeah, it's just when it happens, I think we're taken back, Irvin, but it happens a lot, right?
You know, my new book on reconnecting to the source has an entire chapter on synchronicities. It's written by an experimental psychologist from Yale and a brilliant man who talked about a whole series of synchronicities, all has to do with this idea of ducks showing up for some reason. And in his life, everything is ducks. And as he's doing this, there's a car in front of him with a license plate. It says duck on it. And just a whole series of things is happening. You know, it's amazing. So he called it synchronicities. And they are not entirely by chance. So the conclusion is, you know, when we're saying think of something, we better be careful what we think of,
That's
right. Because what you think of has an effect.
Yeah, and I think we know that, but I don't think we practice it in real life. You know, our anger and our nastiness when you're sitting in traffic and things like that. Those thoughts actually can create the reality of more traffic or whatever it is. So I'm really excited because I think your book taps into something that we are all, and I think it wasn't as normal. Normal's not the right word, but as common a subject, you know, maybe even a decade ago, where now I think this talk of source and talk of universe and talk of synchronicities is more in our vocabulary. So do me a favor. I really want to hear what you mean in your book when you say source, because I love to hear different perspectives.
Well, source is where we came from. This is an evolutionary universe. I think you can't doubt that anymore. It comes from all the sciences. It comes also from quantum cosmology. So things have started sometime and they're developing. And ever since they're developing in unison, that means not exactly smoothly because a lot of conflicts and reversals are also in the world, but on the whole connected. Everything is connected. And so the source is from which everything evolved. Probably, if you want to ask science, when did it start? Probably 13.8 billion years ago with the Big Bang. And the Big Bang created this fireball, a singularity, which has no precedent as far as we know in the universe. But when it happened, then this fireball started to cool. And as it cooled, various clusters of these little ripples emerged. And they turned out to be the quarks, the quanta, the consolidated, the cohered into atoms, those into molecules. And as the universe further cooled and time passed, it's billions and billions of years, and then the atoms moved into molecules, macromolecules. The first cell emerged, perhaps about 6 billion years ago, the first signs of life. And then other life forms evolved. Consciousness seemed to have emerged sometime. You don't know when, but sometimes some people talk about 120,000 years before our time. And then biological systems show this first signs of being conscious. So this is the source. This is the evolutionary universe. It's a quantum universe where all things are connected. It's also an Akashic universe, you know, in the sense of the Akashic records and the Akashic field, where everything is happening in connection with everything else, not without problems and rubbings and conflicts, but on the whole, this evolutionary trend toward higher levels of order, consciousness, and ultimately, I think, toward harmony in the world, despite of all the fallbacks, despite of all the problems that we experience here on Earth, it's still this trend goes on. If we don't manage to kill ourselves.
It's true. Harmony sounds good to me, Irvin, I'll tell you.
So that's what the source is. The source is everything. And the thing is that the source is in us also. I just want to make use of a concept which is very powerful because if we can experience it, we can create it. And that's the hologram. The hologram means a system where an image, or as usually in the practical sense, it's an image, can be a voice, but it can be in the world, can be a thought, an idea, when something is created, and that something appears all over, all through that whole sphere where it's created. The hologram is all one. But the important element of that is that every part of the hologram contains the whole. So that if you, for example, illuminate a holographic film, any one part of it, the whole image appears. And no matter where, how many times you illuminate it, how many different places, everywhere the whole image appears there. So that means if the universe is a hologram, which is not just poetic expressions, because it's now hard science. Really very serious scientists, physicists are developing the holographic theory of the universe. That means that the information, which is the basis of all things, which creates these clusters of vibration, which connect together and make the phenomena that we observe, that all these things are not only outside of us, someplace there in space, but it is also in us, because we are a product of the universe. We are the product of this evolution, and the information that creates the universe, which is the source, is also in us. The big question that I'm raising in this book is, how can we access that? How can we make it a kind of a GPS that shows us the way forward?
Can you give an example of how people, I like that GPS, I love that visualization, because everybody uses their GPS daily, right, to get from point A to point B. How can we reconnect as individuals with that source or that oneness or what you just described that's within us as well? So how do we reconnect with that?
Well, the Buddhists have been telling us for 5,000 years now. We're not saying that we have to recreate the Buddha as such.
Sure.
But we create deeper spirit, the deeper source that is in us. The way to do it is conceptually very simple. In practice, you have to practice it, and it's not so simple. But it's the conceptual simple, the idea. Let it come. Allow it to come. Allow it to unfold. We are overwhelmed by the urgent crisis, conflicts, tasks, everything that is in front of us in the daily existence. And therefore, we very seldom go down a little bit deeper in ourselves. If we allow us to go down, whether it's through meditation, through the experience of great or even popular music, dance, the sense of oneness. The Japanese talk about forest bathing, you know, which is now becoming popular in the U.S. also.
Yes.
It means allowing the sense, the feel of a forest to go, to envelop you, to become one, that you can bond, one visit. If you allow that, then I think gradually you'll find that you come up with an experience of oneness, of unity. And what it shows in the experiences that I'm describing in this new book, it also shows, even though the people who described them didn't know about each other, and I just asked them to describe their deeper experience, they all come up with the same thing. The deepest sense, when we really reach that deep level of awareness, the deepest sense is love. Somehow we are connected, and the universe itself has us in a loving embrace, so that all things are connected, and we can approach that connection by this sense that we are part of it, and that we are universally and unconditionally loving part of a loving universe.
And what a beautiful sentiment. If people could just stop, you know, briefly, like you said, just to meditate, even if it's just for that few minutes, to reflect within and find your own love, right? That self-love, because, you know, you have to love yourself before you can project love onto others. And instead of that anger and frustration and overwhelm, I think that we feel in life, and you said it, our to-do lists, and it just goes on and on and on, what we have to do every day. And to still the mind and to still the body, I think is, you're right. Everybody's like, well, yeah, but it's not so easy to do and execute, because we just keep going and going. We don't stop. I have another question for you. In your book, and you mentioned it when you started answering my first question, the Akashic Fields. And you talk about that in your book. And I looked it up because I wasn't sure what that meant. But can you explain what it means and why it's really important for us to understand that? It's very interesting.
Well, I'm mentioning this in this book. And as I mentioned, I'm working now on a book which is to be published at the end of this year. Let's talk about it then more in detail. The book will be called The Eternal Laws of the Akashic Field. So basically, it's an understanding that this space-time, which physicists talk about, this integrated space-time where all, everything is a one total system, is a strongly interconnected, co-evolving something, and which not only evolves together, but it also conserves everything that takes place in it. We are all information. Information in the sense, not only in the sense that what we're talking, what we're writing, what we're producing in the computer, etc. Information that is in nature. Ultimately, we are vibration. That's the new physics, you know. Ultimately, we are clusters and sets of vibration. But this vibration is held together it's oriented by something that we can, for lack of a better word, we call it information. There is in the universe something. It's not passive. It's not impersonal. It's not empty, as it were. It's, this universe is full of what in the quantum science, in the quantum universe sense, we call information. It's not a vacuum. Scientists used to be talking about a vacuum. Now we realize it's a plenum. It's something which is full, co-filled, actually. And but it's filled with is directional information. It's like a GPS, as you said a moment ago, but it's in the universe. And the universe could evolve as it did from its beginning, 13.8 billion years ago or so, which was chaotic. It was just a fireball in which there was nothing permanent, you know. Everything was a chaos, a constant boiling and eventually changing. Now it evolves into coherence. More and more coherent systems are coming forth. On the largest level, galaxies, you know. But on the smallest level, also systems of atoms and molecules and cells, life in all its forms, is evolving. We are creating an ecosystem. Unfortunately, we are stressing that ecosystem. This ecosystem came about despite of us, as it were. But it came about because all things together create higher and higher levels of consciousness and coherence. And what the young people call oneness and call love. And that is sort of the direction in which the universe is moving. And to understand that and to become a conscious part of it is the way to flourish, to thrive, rather than face these constant challenges, like the crisis more and more and more.
Yeah, we're in hyper speed mode. Crisis, that's such a good word. Chaos, another good word. I feel like we're always in a chaotic environment. There has to be some clarity, and I love that oneness and love. I have a really, this is kind of an interesting question. I'm so curious to hear your answer. Do you think there's more than one universe?
If there is, it's very probable, it's very likely there is. But if truly this is not this universe, then we don't get information from it, then we don't know it. We can assume it because it's very likely. Now we know that this universe is not all there is. This universe, I call it the our universe, you know. It's like our solar system.
Right.
Our galaxy. Not more than 100 years ago, we used to think that this galaxy is the whole universe. Now we know that there are billions, trillions of galaxies, you know. This universe, no reason why this universe that was born in the Big Bang, why should be the only universe?
Yeah.
Probably there are these explosions taking place in the wider, deeper reality, which is the cosmos. But this is the big hang-up, the big open question. If it's truly another universe, then we don't get information from it. Then it's not accessible to us. And if it is, then it's part of this universe, you know? So maybe universe-like explosions are taking place in this universe. But then I wouldn't say the other universes. There are other universe-like developments in this universe.
It's fascinating. It's a heavy topic. And to get your head wrapped around it, it's a heavy topic to think about. But it's an important topic. And you know, that I call it surrendering, right? At points, I think we have to surrender and realize that we can't control every little piece of every little thing in our lives. And it's dangerous to think that you can. So we have to surrender at some point. And I think you said it differently before, but I think that's kind of what you were alluding to, right? Through that calmness, we surrender and allow things to happen.
This is the teaching of all the great religions. It's also there in the Old Testament. It's there in the teaching of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's very paramount and leading point in the teaching of the Buddha and of the Tao, you know, and the great spirit of the indigenous people, surrendering, allowing the force that evolves in this universe to evolve in you, to guide you, to be one with it.
Yeah.
So people used to know this. The traditional people survived, and they managed to live in for thousands and thousands of years because they were part of this unfolding harmonious, evolving oneness. Now, in the past few hundred years, we are going on our own way, and we are creating conditions that put very serious question mark as to whether we can continue doing that, you know, whether we can survive.
How desperate do you think the human condition is at this point?
It's bad. It has started, it has gone through a critical phase, and it's moving in the wrong direction. That's on the surface. Deep down, underneath, there are conversations like we are having now. There are questions that people are asking, there are intuitions that people are having, and there are movements, alternative movements, in health, in education, in science, in business, yep, even politics. There are alternative movements. They haven't really become very powerful yet. They haven't surfaced, but they are there. And in my new book, I'm reviewing some of these, what happened in the different areas. They're really positive developments taking place. On the side, on the margins, but we know even from the example of biology, that evolution unfolds not by the main species, the dominant species changing. The dominant species dies out. The way change comes is people, species on the margins, on the periphery, becoming more powerful and taking over the role of the dominant species. And this is what's happening now.
Do you think there's hope? Do you think that the dominant species will come to see the light, so to speak, and have that shift of consciousness?
The dominant species may not, but we don't need the dominant species to change. We just need the dominant species to quietly go to the back and allowing the new innovations, the new developments, the new inspirations to come to the fore. This is happening whether we like it or not. And the more problems we have in politics, in business, in the ecology, the stronger the force of change yeah. will come.
Yeah.
So there is this paradox. It seems the more problems you have, it's not necessarily a prelude to disaster. The more problems you have, the stronger the motivation to change.
Yeah.
To ourselves change.
Yeah, there's a saying, and I forget, might have been Stephen Covey, but I don't remember, but it's the good is the enemy of great, right? When things are good, we go, oh, that's good, and you don't create change because it's good. Good, it's good enough. When things become bad, we become ill, something happens, we lose a job, whatever it might be, where something bad happens, all of a sudden we create the change to move forward. So good truly is the enemy of great. And that's, I think, what we're kind of talking about at the soul level here, is that we have become, we're killing the earth, right? We're killing each other. We're killing ourselves every day. So if things get so bad, that's when the change propels us forward. And that's where we create the change that you're talking about, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know 100 years ago, we had all these fantastic inventions. The airplane, you know, the automobile, the fast trains, all this sort of thing. Even a horse and buggy environment, not so long ago. And now we have moved into technology. And the idea was technology is the answer. Whatever we can do, we should do because it's going to make for a better world. And now we see, of course, that technology in itself can be also be a tool, but it can be also be a dangerous tool. It's up to us to make it serve us. So we have to, technology we should be grateful for because it provokes, it catalyzes our sense in us that we need to change. And this change must come. There is no real change, no real evolution without crisis. Crisis is the means, is the way that evolution unfolds. But crisis can also be dangerous because if you allow it to unfold in the wrong direction, it may reach a point where it's irreversible, where you can't come back again. Like climate, for example, we can't come back to a normal climate as far as we know in the next couple of 100,000 years. You know. But you can still manage to live with that climate, even with these changes. So I think we have to learn to cope with change, welcome change, and try to orient it in the holographic sense of who we are.
Agreed.
We are part of this universe moving toward a harmonious higher level of unfolding, higher level of consistency, coherence, and consciousness. if we can recognize that and become part of it, do it, because we can do it, and many people are doing it already, many movements are doing it already. I think not only there is hope, that there is a very bright future in front of us.
And you know, Irvin, the funny thing is the thought of chaos and doom is not appealing. The thought of love and harmony is appealing. So, you know, I think, and Skype, like what we're doing, recording this show, you're in Italy, right? You're currently in Italy, you know, and I'm here, and I'm here on the East Coast in the United States, and we're having this brilliant conversation that I hope, you know, people take away a lot of information and a lot of, a hope from. So when you talk about chaos and doom and hope and love, we have to do the hope and love. Is there an alternative? No, there's not. And I think these venues, this technology could be killing us, but it gives us the opportunity for you and I, you know, across continents to be able to have this very needed conversation. I think it's important. Why did you write the book? And why are you writing this next book? What propels you to do this?
I don't know, but something prepares me. I feel that these ideas are there, coming to me. I feel this whole concept, you know, it's a very basic concept, reconnecting to the source. We have lost this connection.
Yeah.
Now I feel very strongly. It's an intuition. It comes to me before I wake up or before I go to sleep, you know, or in meditation or whatever. You know. I feel we need to find a way back. And the discovery, which comes from the new quantum sciences and comes also in my mind, is that source is not outside. The reconnecting is not a force outside. The force is inside and outside. It's everywhere. The whole universe is evolving and we are part of it. You can just recognize it. Allow it to penetrate our consciousness. Allow it to rise into our consciousness. I think we'll find a way back. We have the technology, because we don't need to have technology or master. And technology doesn't need to serve only the short-term ends of making money and becoming more powerful. Technology can also serve well-being in the world. The new education, the new health sciences.
Sure. You know,
the new community spirit that we can develop. All that is there, and you know very well, you're practicing that. So I think it's a tremendous thing if we can finally come to our senses, which means reconnecting to what we truly are. We are part of a natural, self-evolving cosmos. To know that, to act like this, is to act by seeking harmony and coherence rather than just money and domination.
Yeah, it's true. Greed is probably one of the worst emotions we feel. And it's really kind of cool, you know, this whole conversation. And I do think there is hope, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't have folks like you on my show, because I do want people to hear the message and realize that there are ways to reconnect. And your book is just another resource to help people do that. My last question, because we're almost out of time. Irvin, what do you hope when people pick up this book and future books, if they fall in love with you like I have, what do you hope they get from your book?
Hope, yes. Also a direction, a realization that we don't need other people to tell us what to do. That we have the answers in us. We live the answers. And we can allow these answers to penetrate, to come up. So I think the return to cosmos means we return to oneself. We are in a holographic universe. So it's everything that is out there is also in here. So spiritual experience is a great thing. And I was collecting in this book, there are 19 of these experiences described by famous people, by people who have impeccable integrity. And I asked them, Did you have some experiences that changed your life, and how were these experiences? And these people replied, yes, we did. Asked them, would you write it down? And they wrote it down. And they each come to the same conclusion that which I mentioned, this sense of oneness, this sense of unconditional love with each other and for all things in the world. Then you enter these deeply altered states of consciousness. That's what comes. And then it changed them. They were changed people who have that. And I think you who are asking these questions, who are very much involved in this, have already this changed consciousness. And then apparently I have it because that's why I started writing this book.
Yeah.
Continue writing now about the Akashic Field, for example.
Yeah. And I think it's funny, as you were describing that, you know, meditation, you have, I'm going to call it divine intervention, right? Where something intuitively came and you thought, I have to write this book. So this is what, this at the core is what we're talking about when you still your mind or you still your soul for that second or that 15 minutes, information can flow through you so that you have that clarity. And in your case, which is wonderful, you're writing it down so others can understand what that process is and what the outcome that we need to happen. This has to happen. This harmony and love is important. The other thing, Irvin, that you mentioned with these people of integrity writing down those changes, right? Those pivotal moments in their life, that it's believable because they are people of integrity and authority, but also with quantum science and all these other sciences, you know, you've mentioned this isn't make believe woo woo stuff. We are finding it so in scientific studies and research. So I think as more of that happens and we ground it into reality, I think more and more people all of a sudden, wait, what was that? Wait, how can I do that? I think we're waking up because there's validity over and over and over again in exactly what you're saying. And, you know, this divine intervention, you're writing these books, you're compelled. It's not like you're saying, hey, I want to be famous and that's why I'm writing this book. That's not what it is for you. It's compelling because you want to help people, you know, save the world. Literally, we want to try to save the world, which is kind of cool.
And it's hard work, you know. I'll sit back a little bit. I've now written, you know, so many books, and you know, over 100 books.
God bless you.
I'm 87 years old, and I could just sit back a little bit and say I've done my bit, you know. But no, I'm compelled, and I'm working day and night. And it's hard work, but it's very satisfying at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm searching. And if I find an answer, then it's very much fulfilling.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to be you when I grow up. You're lovely. You're brilliant. You articulate. You truly are just a gem, Irvin. And I'm just so, so honored to have you on the show. Everyone, I think everybody has to go out and buy this book. It's Reconnecting to the Source, the New Science of Spiritual Experience, How It Can Change You, which is important, and How It Can Transform the World. The book is going to be out March 24th, 2020. So please, it's available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can connect with Irvin. Go to his website, and there's information there. You could pre-order the book, I think, there too, right, Irvin? Right on your website? Yeah. So they could pre-order it everywhere, right?
Yes.
So Irvin's website is Irvin Laszlo. So Irvinlaszlo.com. Check it out. Read the book. I think we all need help in finding our way to this love and harmony that you speak of. And I think your book might be a really nice resource to help people kind of bite into it, hear the stories of transformation, and think, oh, if I change this piece, maybe I could change that. So thank you so much for the book. Thank you for being on. You truly are a delight. You're a delight to chat with. So thank you so much.
It's lovely to be with you. You are part of the solution. And there are so many other people, and even shows are part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to chat with you.
Yes.
Carry on.
Same. Thank you so much. Now, don't go yet. Everybody, if you need anything from me, specifically my partner and I in my second business, we are offering the free communication style assessment. It's free. Check it out. You get a report. It helps you understand how your brain is wired and how we articulate and speak to others, why we do some of the things we do. And I hope you use that as another resource. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change, no matter where you are in your path of change, that it's easier and that there's so many resources out there to help you. You know, hopefully my free communication style assessment, Irvin's, book about, you know, raising consciousness to change the world, change yourself and you change the world. We have so many resources. Go look for them. Find them. Find what works for you. Create the change so you could be the change that the world needs today. Irvin, thank you again for being a delightful guest. Truly, truly an honor and a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Connie. Let's continue.
Yes. You guys, you've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you so much. And I really do wish you an inspired week filled with some sort of change. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.